Okay, Bruch Mavom Ravoisai Pashas Chukas. Moshe Rabbeinu is the humblest man who ever lived. The Torah itself testifies in Pashas Bahaloischa V'hoish Moshe Anav Ma'oid Mikal Adama Shal Pnei Adama. And one of the very interesting phenomena that we have in the Torah are sometimes we have letters that are very big, sometimes we have letters that are very small. And amazingly, sometimes there are letters that are entirely missing. And if you look carefully at the word anav, v'ha'ish ma'isha, anav ma'id, mikala adama, shal p'nei adama, you'll notice that the letter yud in anav, which should be spelled ayin, nun, yud, vav, the letter yud is completely omitted. There's no yud. The yud has been taken out. Why is there no yud? So one of the great Rishonim, the Rush, offers us a very interesting comment. Says the Rush is found in this week's parasha as well as in parashas Bahaloscha, that in order to understand why the Yud is not there, you have to have a better understanding of the episode in this week's parasha, what is called Mei Meriva. So after the death of Moshe, of Miriam, so Klal Yisrael no longer had the Be'er Shel Miriam, they had nothing to drink, so Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take your stick and gather Klal Yisrael, gather the Jewish people, and speak to the rock, and the rock will gush forth water. So Moshe Rabbeinu takes the stick, he gathers Klal Yisrael, and in the presence of the entire Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hamin hasela hazeh noitzi lochem mayim. You think we are going to extract water from this rock? In other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, we can't just take out water from any rock, we have to take it out from the correct stone. Moshe Rabbeinu then proceeds to hit the rock, water gushes forth, and God's name is sanctified. So we would think, at this point, the story ends happily ever after. But, very interestingly, and very mysteriously, Ribbono Shel Olam immediately comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, you fail to sanctify my name, Yan, Lehamantim Bilahakdisheni, and Hashem says, you cannot enter Eretz Yisrael. Because of this incident, Moshe Rabbeinu was denied his lifelong dream. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed only 515 times to enter Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem said, no, because of this episode, that's it. You can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? What did he do wrong? Well, did Moshe Rabbeinu do something so terrible that he's being denied his lifelong dream of entering Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of hitting the rock, he should have spoken to the rock. If he would have spoken to the rock, it would have been a much bigger Kiddush Hashem. But the Ramban asks, a rock is a rock. It doesn't matter if you hit it, you speak to it. Either way, it's an equal miracle. A rock can't produce water. So whether you hit a rock or you speak to a rock, it's the exact same miracle either way. So says the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu did absolutely nothing wrong by hitting the rock. So what's the problem? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished so severely? Says the Rush, Moshe Rabbeinu was not punished for hitting the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for saying the following words. Hamin hasela hazeh noitzi lachem mayim. Are we going to extract water from this rock? Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake was he said the word noitzi. He should have said the word yoitzi. He will extract. The Ribbono Shel Olam will extract. God will extract. By saying noitzi, that we, he made it sound like Moshe and Aaron were the ones who were going to be performing the miracle, or at least they played a role in the miracle. He should have said he. He should have made it clear that only the Ribbono Shel Olam is making the miracle. Says the Rush, now we understand why the Yud has been omitted from the word Anav Ma'id. It says, V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'id Mikal Adam Asher Pnei Adama. Says the Rush, it should have been spelled Ayin Nun Yud Vav. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe, you should have said Yoitzi Lachem Ayin, that Hashem will take out the water. But you took out the Yud, and instead you said Noitzi. You put in a Nun. Because you removed the Yud, which would have meant me, I am going to take out the word Yud from your word, Anav, as if to say that the Torah is criticizing Moshe Rabbeinu, that as humble as he was, and despite the fact he was the most humble man who ever lived, there was a touch of arrogance in Moshe Rabbeinu's statement of Hamin Hasel Hazeh, Noitzi Lachem Mayim. In other words, the Torah is implying that Moshe believed on some level that he played a role in performing the miracle of bringing the water out of the rock. There was a touch of arrogance, and therefore the Torah removes the Yud from Anav to show Moshe Rabbeinu's humility was not perfect. That's very difficult to understand this. Surely Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he wasn't performing the miracle, that he was just an agent, he was just a shliach who was conducting what Hashem told him to. Especially the Torah saying Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble man who ever lived. No one was more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, on some subconscious, microscopic level, Moshe Rabbeinu is being accused of thinking that he played a role in this miracle. How do we understand this? So, my friend Rabbi Avram Harris pointed out that we see from this rush that every individual has the propensity to claim Koichi va'aitzam yadi asali esachayel hazeh, that every human being has the ability and the inclination to think that they are the one who is responsible for the achievement and the accomplishment. And even when it defies logic, even when it's impossible for a human being to think such a thing, these type of thoughts can surface. And in the situation of extracting water from a rock, even the greatest tzaddik in history, even the biggest anav in history, Moshe Rabbeinu, who the Torah itself is saying, he's anav ma'od mikol ha'adam, the Torah is focusing in and zooming in that Moshe Rabbeinu, on some level, he thought that even he played some role in this miracle. So if Moshe Rabbeinu could take credit for an obvious miracle, how easy it must be for us to fail to recognize that in everything that we accomplish and everything that we achieve, we actually are playing no role in it. We are just Hashem Shliach, and the Ribbono Shel is the one who is accomplishing it. We know that there are 24 books in Tanakh. Now, one of the books are called Sefer Ezra. Now, in our printed editions of Tanakh, we have Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah, but according to the Gemara, there's only one thing. There is Sefer Ezra. Sefer Nehemiah is really under the umbrella of Sefer Ezra. And the Gemara asks in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Gimel, that if the majority of Ezra and Nehemiah was actually said by Nehemiah, not by Ezra, so why is it called Sefer Ezra? It should be called Sefer Nehemiah. Says the Gemara, that when Nehemiah was appointed the Jewish governor of the colony of Jews who were returning from Babel, and Nehemiah was very active in many of the projects and the programs on behalf of the returnees, he built a wall around Yerushalayim. He fought against intermarriage, against Chilul Shabbos, against social injustice. And after listing his many accomplishments, Nehemiah says to Ribbono Shel Olam, Zachra li Eloikai l'tover, remember me for the good. Remember me for all of my good deeds. Nehemiah says to Hashem, I would like to take credit for all of these accomplishments. Remember me for everything that I did that was good. Says the Gemara, because Nehemiah took credit for himself, he lost credit for Sefer Nehemiah. That Sefer is not named after him. Instead, it is named after Ezra. Even though he's the one who said it, it was Mida Keneged Mida. He tried to take credit, he lost credit. Says in Masos Hashem, what we learn from here is that we're not allowed to be Machzik Toiv Al Atzmeinu. We're not allowed to take a credit for our achievements, even if we were the ones who seem to have been accomplishing it. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for saying Noitzi, as if he played a role. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't saying he's the only one who's playing a role. He's not saying Hashem didn't play a role. He just wanted to take some credit. But what we learn from here is that no matter what is achieved, we have to acknowledge that we really have no role in it. And one final example. Sancheiriv is approaching Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim was under the reign of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech prays to God to save the city, and sure enough, Yerushalayim is saved. So everything is wonderful. There's peace in Jerusalem. Chizkiyahu HaMelech says the following in Sefer Yeshayahu, V'hineh l'shalom mar li mar. For me, the peace was very bitter. Why was it bitter? Says the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud, that Chizkiyahu prayed that Hashem should save Yerushalayim in his zechus. Chizkiyahu prayed, Zechar na eis asher hishalachti lefanecha. But instead, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, your zechus? I don't acknowledge your zechus. V'ganoisi aloir, lahoshia lamani laman David avdi. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'll save it in the zechus of David. So even though Chizkiyahu achieved peace, he says for him it was very bitter, because the Ribbono Shel Olam ignored him. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, kol hatoyla b'zechus atzmai. Anyone who would like to take credit for their own achievements, Taylin loy b'schus acherim, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I will depend it and hang it on the zchus of someone else. So what we're learning from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Nehemiah, from Chizkiyahu HaMelech, is no matter what we're able to accomplish, no matter what we're able to achieve, we have to acknowledge that it's not just Hashem is helping us. It is complete, absolute Sliyata Deshmaya. We're just a pawn in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We should be Zoicha, that to acknowledge and to recognize that whatever we set out to achieve, Ribbono Shel Olam should give us success. But ultimately, Im Hashem lo yivna bayis, shav amlu bayna bay, v'imali Hashem kol mishal aseinu l'toiva, shkayach.